Hey, fellas, what's going on? Hell of a Masters week. Scotty, just different planet. And then Tommy, yeah, pizza. Hell of a choice. One bite, everybody knows the rules. Probably about a 9.4. Two questions for you guys to debate there. Besides Scotty, what was your thing that you looked at the most saying, like, wow? And then what is your biggest disappointment? Is it Tiger? Is it somebody else? Thanks, boys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, everybody. Welcome back in, I guess, to the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. Will taking care of the open for us today. Tom, how we doing, man, on this Monday rundown?
I'm good, man. I'm good. A little sad after the Masters. It feels like the RBC, which I love, is a letdown this week. But, yeah, we had to get Willie in here. The guy's been fucking, like we chronicled, he's been flying around. He was at Augusta a couple days. Apparently, he flew back into, I'm going to assume, Westchester today because he flies private. And then he shot over to MSG, and he's sitting ringside for, I believe, a Rangers game. But it was nice of him to leave us that voice message as he was walking onto the tarmac. He obviously had to wax poetic about Scotty, as we all do, and we still haven't done enough. We'll have to do it throughout the year. And then he had a couple questions for us after a Prince Street Pizza review, a 9.4. I gave it a 9.1. I think that review is very accurate. We're going to have to get you up here to try Prince Street. He didn't even try the real Prince Street, and he gave it a 9.4. So that's something.
I really need to try this. I mean, you tried to give me the bullshit of you don't even appreciate pizza. You're from Texas, as if I was some stranger you met who was doing a residency up in the Northeast for 7 years. I love me some great pizza, and if you say Prince Street is a 9.1 and his is a 9.4, get me some of that.
Yeah, next time you come up here, maybe I'll take you on a Fat Boy pizza tour. I've got a lot of good spots. We're just going to have you up here for about 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, we've known each other a long time. It's funny. Just a little sidebar. I met a new coworker, and he was like, "Do you ever make any friends at work?" And I was like, "No, not really." And then 10 minutes later, I was like, "Wait a minute, one of my best friends that I probably talk to more than anybody in the world I actually met at a job." We've just been friends for so long now that I sometimes forget how we actually met.
And it was also a job that each of us held for like 4 months.
Yeah, I know. That's like, what's funny. It's not like we worked together for 10 years.
Right, it wasn't a career job. So when you're working in at least an established career, you're kind of like, yeah, I guess I don't make any real friends at work. But I'm happy that our paths crossed in a professional setting, even though we did our best to make sure it felt as little least professional as possible.
Yeah, that place was obviously a joke. You doing okay? But listen, we made the most of it, and here we are now. Will left us with two questions. Disappointments and surprises from the Masters. I'll go ahead first and say, my disappointment was Jon Rahm. He mentioned Tiger. I think for the collective, the people that are actually somehow disappointed in Tiger, you guys are just going to have to accept the fact that post-accident and with his age, Tiger is moving into a different point in his career. We're all going to root for it, but let's be realistic. So for me, biggest disappointment was Jon Rahm. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously right up there.
You got to throw your boy in there, though. You can't not call out your boy Victor.
Well, that's where I was going, because that was my answer to him when we did our pod together on Friday, that after round two. Like, Victor was awful. And, you know, I mean, if you want to put Rory in there, I know you told me to shh.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's not Victor.
It's a Victor.
Victor
to
me.
Performance. I'm not shushing people. I'm going psh, like that performance. Psh, like that. It's a different noise.
Yeah.
I just want you
all
to get
right.
That right. Okay.
No, well, in either event, maybe we shouldn't talk about him in even winning a Masters anymore.
Yeah, no, I think the shush applies too.
Yeah, so to me, it's obviously Victor. That's my boy, and he really let me down and was a main contributor why I absolutely got my ass handed to me in our pick segment this week. But, you know, he is a guy, again, I'm going to continue to reiterate what I said on the pod the other day. Sorry if it continues to sound redundant. This is a guy who won the FedEx last year, played incredible in a couple of the majors, was easily the best player on the PGA Tour by the time last season ended.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a shell of himself right now. And listen, obviously all the trends pointed in the direction of saying he's not going to do anything, he's not going to win, this guy is not really a consideration. And I said I got to ride with him because I picked him to win a major this year, and why not pick him at least to be in the conversation for the first? And it was a shit show. So Victor, I mean, we gotta avoid a JT type season. Ooh. Right from last year where it's like falls off the face of the earth. So that's my biggest disappointment because of my personal attachment to Victor.
I think Victor's so talented that honestly, if you told me I'm still picking him in my foursome for the PGA, I wouldn't even shit on you. I wouldn't even say that's a bad pick. That's kind of how confident I am in Victor being able to return to form, and not to mention that there's not going to be anybody working harder than him. The second question, thank you for the questions, by the way, Will. We've only had two call-ins. One time I played an Instagram when Will was crying about the Cowboys with Jason Garrett, and now William on the second time. So it's only right that the first two voice messages was from our third compadre over here, William. Can't wait to have him back. But his second question was surprises. Although we've been talking about him for about a year now, I still think we both got to throw Ludwig in as a surprise because
he was my
answer. Just don't do that.
He was my answer. Yep.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty point blank, plain and simple. With that being said, why don't we segue in? We talked about the Masters a bunch, but we didn't talk about our contest. I don't want to do this as much as you don't, Sean, after I did the math, which I had to do because it was so goddamn close. Sean, you finished in DFL. That stands for dead fucking last by a million. Thanks. Anything to say for yourself here? Any apologies you want to issue to anybody? You had Victor, 61st miscut. Wyndham Clark, 61st miscut. John Rahm, 45th. We mentioned him as a disappointment. And then obviously Scotty winning, which gives you a 42nd position.
As I told you the other night with Will, I would do it again. I would double down and do it again. They owe me an apology. I did nothing wrong. I took some really good golfers, and they fucked me royally. So, no, I'm not going to apologize. But like I told you last night, I am thinking. I'm reassessing. I got to think about what went wrong because obviously something went terribly wrong. I went in with a game plan I thought was going to win me a nice little tournament between you two.
I don't know. Am I listening to a Victor Hovland press conference or a Sean
that's
apology?
That's it. I'm speaking for him on my behalf.
Listen, both of you guys just suck this week. You'll have to go back to the drawing board.
That's the plan, man.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, I got rocked.
All right, I'm going to recap my picks, and then Will's. Sean, you're going to have to listen closely to this one because it'll show you as to why I lost. So I had Brooks at 45th, Hideki at 38th, Willie Z at 9th. 9th, that is, listen. And Scotty, I had as my winner in first. That puts me at 23.5. That's right, 23.5. Will had Hideki 38. Scotty first, but he didn't have him winning. Sahith 45th and Xander 8th. Meaning me and Will had exactly the same places outside of Xander and Willie, and Willie lost to Xander by one shot. Giving Will a victory over me, 23.25 to 23 even. He beat me by a quarter of a place, but at the end of the day, a win is a win. Congratulations on the bragging rights, William. You got the first major of the year. I'm not happy about it. I don't know. It's one of those things where would I have rather finished in 42nd or would I have rather lost by a quarter point? I don't know.
Listen, that's really, really tough way to lose, but at least you're in the discussion. I mean, by Friday, you knew I had no chance, so at least you guys were fighting a two-horse race there.
Yeah, and of course, Xander with the backdoor cover, very fitting from our number two man in the captainship of the 5 o'clock Hitters Club. So William gets the bragging rights, as being said. The score now, we both were awarded 3 points for picking the winner, although it seems pretty easy to pick the winner because we picked Scotty, but nonetheless, they had to play the tournament. And then I went ahead and grabbed 2 points for beating you because Will's only getting bragging rights. So that puts our contest at me with 13 and you at 8, Sean.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
We might have to start with this week letting Will play just to give me some competition.
Fuck you. But you're not wrong.
All right, everybody.
I'm getting my ass beat.
Yeah, but that's okay because you got another tournament this week to make up for it. Again, this is a non-major tournament, so winner of the week gets 1 point. And if you do decide the winner, who Listen, I wonder if you could guess who I'm picking to win because he's playing this week. You get 3 points. We are covering right now the RBC Heritage, which honestly, I love this tournament. It just falls in the worst spot possible following the Masters. It seems like a huge exhale. And it's also being held at my favorite place on earth, which is Hilton Head, which at some point hopefully will be Sari Sports headquarters, at least for me.
Listen, that and Austin, Texas would be a really nice combo.
Yeah, but you know, Austin's so overplayed now. Like, everybody's down there. You got Elon, you already got one of the number one podcasters and Rogan down there. Like, is that town big enough for the two of us?
Oh yeah, we'll carve out our little niche here. Don't you worry.
All right, I guess I'll go first since I won. I have Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He just won the Masters. I have Scottie Scheffler winning again. I might just pick him until he misses a cut.
Okay, so everything in my fiber of being told me to take him. But I am interested to see if he's going to be fully playing this weekend. You know, obviously well-documented.
Meredith's about to pop any second. So
soon to have their first, right? And you know, if that drags closer into the weekend, I think Scotty, right off the Masters win, if there's an excuse to withdraw from this tournament, I think it's valid anyway.
All right, but so particularly let's play this after out. Winning the Masters. Let's play this out real quick. Let's get out ahead of this. If he withdraws before the tournament, I will pick another golfer to put in place of him, obviously.
Right.
If he withdraws during the tournament, does that count for me? We're going to talk this out. Does that count for me as a miscut? And I got to put that as his place, or do I just do the math out of three instead of out of four?
I think you go out of three.
It's tough because I'm not going to change it. I'm going to hope that Meredith can hold out for another week until, you know, you can have the kid on Monday. It'll be a Monday baby. But it's like, I know this in advance. But again, then kind of the way laws go, we're setting a precedent here for if you don't know. I guess we'll keep it as a withdrawal, just cancels out, just for future.
Just for future, but for right now, he is not in my foursome. There's just something that's telling me this is either a tournament he's not going
to
start.
Are you sure you should be listening to that voice in your head?
You know what? After the weekend I just had, anything's up for grabs. Anything's fair game. So here's my foursome. I got Ludvig the way he's playing, obviously. I feel great about him. Matt Fitzpatrick, the defending champ. I got him in here. I got Tommy Fleetwood. Another 5 o'clock hitter in there. And I got Will Zalatoris winning this thing.
Wow. So you liked what you saw from him?
I did. And he struck the ball well. The putter's obviously good. He's healthy, and that's the most important thing. I think he's good enough to get another win on tour. So let's grab this one.
I don't think Willie Z's won yet, but
has he not won yet? I thought he had won.
I don't believe so, but I can look it up for you. I know he made that big putt to send him to the playoff against JT in the PGA 2 years ago, but
that one for sure I know he didn't win. But in any event, I'm going to take him to grab this one.
Listen, it's not a bad pick. He's kind of like a Brooks Light for me, where not that I don't take him serious, but I don't know if he takes any. Oh, you were right. He does have a PGA Tour win. My mistake. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I always get him and Cameron Young confused because he doesn't have a win, but he's always, you know, and they came in together. So I feel like it's an understandable mistake.
Yeah. Wait, listen, you don't got to apologize to me. Apologize to him. He's your boy.
I'm sorry, Willie Z. I didn't, you know, I just thought that you only cared about the Masters or the majors, excuse me. All right. So, yeah, a little bit of a letdown, but this is a tournament that I like to watch just because, you know, I like to pretend I'm there.
Yeah, and last year's tournament was phenomenal.
It was. I like you taking Matty Fitz as well.
Playoff, and Fitzpatrick won it.
Yeah, and Ludvig, that was a scumbag pick because I should have taken him.
Listen, man, the only reason I had to take four others is because I didn't take Scotty. So
I hear that. All right, let's talk some MLB. Before we get started on our Yanks, because that's all we're going to talk about for now. He's not on the pod, so he can't defend himself, but next time he is on, does Will Smith have to issue an apology about Aaron Judge, who is on a 3-game hitting streak, and he's got his average up to like 348, and he's also leading the league in walks?
No. I think that his comment was made out of just, Listen, that was a reckless comment.
Was
that
he fishing
made,
for a hot gonna... take there? Was he fishing?
That's what I thought. I felt like it was just the classic like sports radio conversation of like, oh, I don't know about Judge. It's like, listen, if you want to use that about Stanton or some other guys.
Look,
dude,
we need a little
remember
bit
the
of that
year Judge hit like 220? I'm like, first of all, the last so-so year Aaron Judge had was like 2019. And he definitely – he hit in the high 270s. So like – This is not a guy you worry about. So no, I think he
still
was
love special. It out of Will. I mean, we need a little something different on this time. People are getting sick and tired of me and you just being too smart and agreeing on everything.
I gotcha, and I'm totally fine for some other ones, but that's one where it could lose you a little credibility. It was kind of like, I don't know if you saw it on WFAN. I went after him on Twitter. Sal Licata saying that Juan Soto has to stop looking for walks. On the heels of a seventh inning where he hit literally the game-tying double down the right field line on an 0-1 count.
That might even be worse.
And then in the ninth, he drew a walk to set up the bases loaded for Aaron Judge, who popped out. And Sal Licata says, I just don't like walks. Oh, okay. So because you personally don't like walks, this is a bad job by Soto. And he was rightfully torn apart by John Jastrzemski and some other people. Because I'm like – you just sound like you don't deserve a voice when you make comments like that.
Geez, well, Sean's really showing his true colors. I mean, sheesh, Will doesn't deserve a voice. Is that what you're saying?
I said Will was trying to do his best sports invitation to say Aaron, he's not sure about Aaron Judge, and comments like that make you sound foolish. Some of his other ones, not so much. And one that did give him some – that he did call out was about Nestor Cortez in the spring. And I said, don't worry about it as long as he's healthy. He's not been good. He had that eight inning gem against the Marlins, who are one of the worst teams in baseball. But his other three starts, including yesterday, have been short, and they've been a lot of runs that he's given up. And this is continues to be the trend with the Yankee pitching staff, Tom, despite their 12-4 record. I'm not even going to worry about the loss yesterday. I was knee deep into the Masters, so it didn't really bother me. They swept the doubleheader on Saturday.
You're really showing your true colors. You're a golf guy now.
I was just like, listen, if they win today, it's gravy, and they almost did. They almost came back and won. But the length or lack thereof from this Yankee rotation, I mean, it's killing this bullpen. And you're already seeing a bullpen that was basically bulletproof for the first 10 days of the season. Is starting to show some little chinks in the armor because they're not supposed to be pitching this much this early in the season.
The Yankees starting rotation right now feels like a house of cards.
Well said.
I would probably – the guy that I trust most is Stroman.
Yeah, and even he had a little –
he's going to give you length, though.
Absolutely. Listen, he started three games this year, and two of the three he gave you six innings. The other one – not as much. By the way, Judge is not up in the 380s. That's Soto. Judge is only above 200, but he is on the three-game hitting streak, and he's showing some pop now.
Oh, listen, I was listening to the broadcast today, and they said his average was up to 348, but then again, I think Susan said it.
That was probably, I think, mentioning Soto or Volpe. Volpe's been on a freaking tear. He looks like that sophomore jump, and the one that I didn't completely say he's going to be Bobby Witt, but I said he's going to make a Bobby Witt-type jump, and so far I feel pretty vindicated in that. But the Yankee pitching staff has to get deeper, and this is where, you know, listen, I don't know if it's Luis Gil who has to be sent to the pen, because Tom, even though his stuff is electric, this guy doesn't throw strikes. He doesn't. Even today, like 50 pitches through two innings and walking guys all over the yard. It's a control issue for him.
Yeah, I know. It makes me so sad because I think he just needs to – honestly, I think they should just send him down and have him figure it out.
His stuff is too good to not have
with,
on the team.
I know, but I just hate the back and forth with the bullpen. I just feel like it never works out. By the way, can we mention John real quick as Yankees fans?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard this news. John Sterling is retiring immediately due to health concerns. Yeah, I mean, say what you want about him with his silly phrases and whatnot, but he's been doing it a long time, and I mean, he's pretty much the voice of the Yankees from what I can remember, so it's the end of an era.
Well, just to clear one thing up, which is actually good news, is it's not health stuff. He just said he's exhausted from the travel. But fortunately, he's not sick. He doesn't have anything going on.
Well, then
he's just
the New York Post, because that's what their fucking title is.
No, of course they are. But Michael Kay on his radio show today said that it's not health related. He's just exhausted, and they have somebody else ready to go. I can't remember who.
He's an answer now.
But listen, it obviously is an end of an era. He did 35 years for the Yankees. That's wild.
Yeah, I would have liked to see Ruco on there, but he's just way too big now.
Oh, yeah. No, Ruco's got some of the biggest gigs in the industry right now. But
5 years ago, Ruco was a shoo-in for this job, but he just got too hot.
Yep, absolutely. And all the props to him. He's damn good at what he does. But hey, listen, for the Yankees, they're 12-4. They start off a big week. They play 4 in Toronto and 3 at home against Tampa. A lot of AL East action coming up, but they're 12-4. And even in the games they have lost, they've been pretty much right there in contention to win. So this is a good team, man, and they're going to hit their way to some wins. But the lack of innings and length from a lot of the starters in this rotation is going to eventually kill this bullpen. And we've seen it down the stretch in years past where the bullpen is just worn out. And it's not sustainable for your starters to go 4 or 5 innings every single time out.
No, it's not. Like I said, it's a house of cards and it needs to be fixed. What do you think? Any moves are going to happen more quickly in order to stop taxing this bullpen?
You know, I wonder if the moves that they make, because they would only be internally at this point. Nobody's really dealing from any depth, even the worst teams so far. So, in my opinion, you call up a Will Warren, who was in the contention for the 5th starter job, and you say, listen, he's more of a pitch-to-contact guy. This Cody Petit, who pitched a gem against the Guardians in the second game of the doubleheader on Saturday, maybe those guys kind of slide in there and give you some length. Maybe you have one of them back end, Nestor, on the games he starts, and maybe the other one you take Heel out. Because Heel, again, his stuff is electric, bro, but he just he's all over the place. And his changeup is great. His slider's pretty good. But this is not a new story for him. This was when we saw him his first time out a couple years ago in the Bronx. It was a lot of the same. A lot of strikeouts, but a lot of walks and super high pitch counts.
Absolutely. I think that a move is inevitable. I really do. I don't see it getting any better. And this team is just too good at every other aspect to not go out and get at least one or two solid arms. We got to see what happens with Cole.
Yeah, I know, right. He's playing. Well, that's the tough part now, right? Is like Cole is, you could bank on 6 2/3, 7 innings literally every start with him. And now not getting those innings. You hope for a Stroman, you know, you hope for a Rodon, but those are guys who also, more so Rodon, is a bit more volatile from start to start.
Yeah, he definitely is. I think they need
but
a little
bit. He's been good so far.
He has. Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Berbardi are going to be the combo replacing Sterling. One is 37 and one is 24 years old.
Can you imagine that? What a job to land at 24.
What a job. Good for them. It's going to be different whenever I pop on 660 and want to listen to the game while I'm driving. But as long as we still got Susan, right? Thank God. Thank God.
We got Susan. She's now the seasoned vet in that booth.
Yeah, I just love listening to her break down baseball. And it has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman. It just has to do with the fact that she doesn't fucking know anything. Woman, man, dog, cat, whatever she is, she doesn't know shit.
Well, thanks for clearing that up. We don't need people coming after us.
I just wanted that to be said. If somebody's going to aggregate us regardless. But I at least want to be able to go back at whoever that is. I guess we're getting big time now and say, did you listen to the whole thing, you fuck?
Hey, listen, the fact that we figured that out now is very good. Our numbers are popping. Mm-hmm. All right. I got nothing more on the Yanks at this point. Do you?
No, man, I'm enjoying it again. I'm just scared about the starters. Cashman, if you're listening, I'm scared personally.
Yep, and that's where I think, you know, again, right now it's too early to get a lot of external options coming in here, but there are some moves you can make from internally and figure out some way to get a little bit more length, because, like I said, this is just not sustainable. And you start to see yesterday was a perfect example of that, where the bullpen, where if that game was played – a week and a half ago, the Yankees easily win that game. But the relievers are just starting to burn out a little bit. Kentucky, quick here, Tom. They hire Mark Pope, an alum of the 96 team that won it all at Kentucky, and also the former BYU head coach as their next head coach. It was probably not the sexy name everybody in Lexington wanted, but he got the endorsement from Slick Rick, so I guess that's got to mean something.
Yeah, I was happy to hear him endorsing Mark Pope and not taking the job. That was huge for me. St. John's has already got a game scheduled against UK, and they also just scheduled a game against New Mexico. So it'll be Slick Rick versus Slick Rick, which is awesome.
Love it.
His son's name is Richard too, right?
It is.
Yeah, so it'll be Slick Rick v. Slick Rick. I do like the hire. He's done a lot of good things at BYU, and he brought the noise coming out at that national championship game as well. Or, bringing out the national championship trophy coming off the bus at his announcement.
That's right. Hey, listen, this is a guy that at least the fan base can rally behind because he won a national championship there. And that doesn't always work out, but he's had success as a head coach. Obviously, you saw what he did at BYU.
Yeah, let's give the guy a chance. I mean, listen, Kentucky might not be the destination for every single five-star recruit in the country or what seems to be 50% of them, but that didn't really equal winning over the last 10 years. So let's see. Maybe he works a transfer portal. Maybe he gets a few guys that are going to end up staying a few more years. It'll be interesting to see how he turns this program around, because at the end of the day, they've been living off name for what seems like a decade and not winning. So he does need to turn it around.
Great call on that, bro. Couldn't agree with you more. Couldn't have said it better myself. Listen, and sometimes it's not always the sexy name that brings home the titles.
I feel like it really never is.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, it's a step up for him, obviously, even though he was just in the Big 12. This is a brand new style of basketball. You're probably one of the highest, if not the highest, acclaimed coaching jobs in the sport. So good for you. And as for Kentucky, I'm sure they're disappointed that some of the other candidates didn't take their call. And I don't really know what went on with Billy Donovan, if they even reached out to him.
I read a lot that they didn't, which I think is a big mistake. But, hey, we're going to have to see what Pope does.
Absolutely. But, hey, an alum, he's coming back, and he's a pretty damn good coach. So we'll see what happens there. But, Tom, we have not talked a lot of pro basketball, but tis this playoff season now.
Yeah, it is official. That was a wild, wild ride there, but the seeds and everything are locked in. We got some play-in games. I believe those are tomorrow and Wednesday, so we have a night off from basketball tonight to regroup from the Masters and everything. I am looking forward to it. First play-in game, Sean. Can you explain to me what the fuck? I still don't understand how the play-in games work. So if it's the 10 versus the 9, what the fuck? Can you explain it to me?
I got you, brother. So the 7 and 8 play each other, mm-hmm. right? Whoever wins that game is the 7 seed, all right? It's a double elimination for the loser, okay?
So that makes sense. So they play the winner of the 9-10.
Yeah, so the 8-7 matchup tomorrow is Lakers at Pelicans. Whoever wins that game is cemented as the 7 seed. And they will play the Denver Nuggets. The loser will wait for the winner of the 10-9, which is Golden State Sacramento. The loser of that game is immediately out, and then the winner plays the loser of the 8-7 game. So pretty easy there, and then that team will be the 8 seed. So
I know it's easy. I'm sorry. No.
It's pretty easy once you talk it out, but yeah. It's not that easy when you're also thinking we had in-season tournament – play-ins, all these different scenarios, but this is it. So in the West, we've got Lakers, Pelicans. The winner will be the 7 seed and play the 2 seeded Nuggets, which is fascinating. And then Oklahoma City, who nailed the number 1, we'll talk about that in a minute, will play the winner of whoever loses New Orleans Lakers and whoever wins Golden State Sacramento.
All right. First game, who wins? Lakers, Pelicans.
Lakers have had the Pelicans number this year, especially as recently as a couple days ago. The Pelicans just do not have an answer for this Laker team. They killed him in the in-season tournament final. They're kicking the shit out of him the other day. I just think that's a really bad matchup for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you. I think the Lakers go ahead and take that game, and then they get the right to face the Nuggets to get their ass kicked by the Nuggets.
It's crazy, man. You know, obviously the joke is the most competitive sweep in playoff history last year in the West Final. But I just think the Lakers right now, they know what they have to do. And I feel so much better about them in a one-game situation than I feel about New Orleans, because I don't know what New Orleans I'm getting night to night. I at least know what version of the Lakers I'm getting in a big game. And by the way, let's show some love to AD, who played in 75 games this year, played over 2,600 minutes, and had a phenomenal, probably second-team All-NBA type year. I can expect a big performance for him tomorrow. The way Russell is shooting, and obviously LeBron, when he knows he just has to conserve energy for one night, he's still as good as it gets.
No doubt about it. And yeah, I'd say this is probably a top three season out of AD, including his New Orleans years. It was bordering on first-team All-NBA. If we didn't have so many good big men, I think he would have gotten it a few years back.
Yeah, it's the best year he's had since 2018 for sure. And then in the 10-9 matchup, we have the Warriors traveling up to Sacramento, which should be a pretty crazy scene in Sactown. How do you see this game going?
I think Golden State edges them out. Golden State's just had Sacramento's number forever. And I think they find a way to get one last one over on the Kings. And then they'll be playing, since thank you for explaining it to me, they would move on to play the New Orleans Pelicans. I don't know what day, but someday.
Thursday.
Probably, yeah, that makes sense. And in that matchup, I'm going to go with the Pelicans. I just think they have too much talent.
Yeah, you know, the aura of the Warriors, you don't want to pick against until you actually see them down and out. But
especially because I was making a case for them at the All-Star break to make a run to the finals, but I just...
Well, at the All-Star break, you actually were seeing them play their best basketball of the year, so I totally understood that.
Yeah, and now, like you said, I just think they don't have the talent. I mean, Andrew Wiggins has just decided to show up again. Like right off the milk carton back onto the court, but it doesn't, you know, maybe if when they were at full strength, but they don't seem to have enough offense around Curry.
No, and they've just not been a very good team. That's why they're in the 10 spot right now. And when they've needed to win games, sometimes they have and sometimes they haven't. So, but I do think they get this one in Sacramento, but then fall to New Orleans. I think I'm right there with you. Let's head over to the East. We got Miami and Philly. The winner will get to play your New York Knicks, who in a second we will give up for getting the second seed because that's an amazing story. And then in the 10-9, we have Atlanta and Chicago. And I got to be honest, that's a game that I could not possibly care less about.
Yeah, I mean, Phillips already sent me the topics for what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow, and I hate to be the guy where it's like, you got to lose this game or whatever, but I mean, look at this 8-9 versus this, you know, or this, yeah, whatever, the 8-9 versus the 10-9 or whatever, I don't know. I don't. What did you
seven,
type
eight?
Here, Sean? I'm lost.
It's the 7-8.
7-8. It's just, the matchup is... Again, I'm not really – I think you got to win the games in front of you for the most part, and I know that's Tibbs' mantra, but, like, dude, look at these two matchups. Like, we're talking the poo-poo platter versus two teams that could go out and beat your ass in a first-round series. I'm scared.
I don't blame you. Who would you rather face, Miami or Philly?
Chicago.
Well, you're not getting them because yeah. The winner of Miami-Philly plays you. So who would you rather play?
I mean, dude, like, do you have, like, an hour to give me silence so I can just sit here and think about this? Because that's how hard of a decision it is, because it's like, you want to take Philly just because they've been the lesser team, but Embiid's back now. Like, do you really want to put up with the former MVP, you know, a guy who probably could have gone back-to-back MVPs? Or do you want to face this Miami team where it's like, I don't fucking know. They're like Brooks at the majors. He could miss 700 cuts in a row and then go out and grab one of the majors, and it's Miami too. It's like, is this them or is this three quarters of them? I don't know. Could Jimmy come out and drop 40 in the first game? I'm scared.
It's such a tough proposition.
And I'm dancing right now. I still haven't said who I want. I don't know. I think I'd have to lean Miami just based off of how fucking good Joel Embiid is.
If I'm the Knicks fan, I am actually preferring to play Philly. And the reason being is Embiid is still not 100%.
I guess we could neutralize him. Not neutralize, but we could slow him down with a combination of Hartenstein, who's been incredible, and Robinson, who's back. You know, I'm still going to take Miami. I'm still taking Miami.
Yeah, I'm just scared shitless of how they can – because last year you look at them on paper, and you should have beaten them last year. But they beat up Jalen Brunson. And I'll tell you this, man. Coach Spo, over a seven-game series, he's going to make every adjustment. No one's going to stop Brunson, but he's going to make it really, really tough on him. And without Randall, you really need the offense from the supporting cast. And he's just going to take away – what you do best. Whereas Nick Nurse is a great coach, but that entire team runs through Joel Embiid. And can he take the pounding that the Knicks can give him for four, five, six, or seven consecutive games? I don't know what state he's in right now, and that's why I think I would favor a matchup with Philly. But both are really tough, man. I mean, to give your Knicks so much credit for grabbing the two, they easily could have sat back and said,
let me ask you about that. Because I feel like you're with me in most situations where, you know, you don't want to play the seeding game and you kind of just want to beat whoever's in front of you and have the momentum. But, like, I feel like this is an extenuating circumstance given the talent level of the 7-8 and the 10-9. Like, in this exact situation, not in general, in this situation, would you have rather the Knicks lost that game and ended up with the 3? Playing
from
Indiana?
From the fan perspective, yes, but knowing what I love the most about this Knicks team is the fact that they take on challenges head on, and this is who they are. They're definitely going to have themselves a challenge
in the first round that they weren't going to have.
Right. No, I got you. But I think they look at it and say, we do not ever go out on the court and think we are going to lose. And again, I think that this is a team that just is feeding off of the competitiveness. You got guys that play 48 minutes. You got guys that don't sit out games. And that's very rare in today's NBA. So from a fan perspective, I definitely would have been happy to grabbing the 3 or the 4 seed. But instead, you get the 2. And I think now it's like, okay, this is where we're at. Let's fucking go. I don't care who we play. It's on.
Yeah, as a TV programmer, I'd be much happier with the Knicks grabbing the 2 seed, because either way, it's going to be an amazing series, and it'll probably double the amount of people watching it. But as a Knicks fan, I usually don't say this, because usually it's a lot closer than these four teams are. I kind of wish we lost. I really do.
I got you, man. I got you. If I was facing this head on, I'd be thinking the same thing. Like, we have this amazing year. We had this incredible January. We slip up a little in February and early March because we have so many injuries. But now we're playing some of the best basketball in the league again, and this is our fucking reward for finishing second, either Philly with Embiid or Miami and what they do in the playoffs. Like, come on, man.
I'm scared, dude. Why? Why? Why couldn't we have just lost that game? Just sit Brunson for the day.
Listen, man, this is not who this team is. And even if you can't see it now, you got to respect it.
Completely agree. I'm missing Curb, man.
Oh, I'm missing Curb right now.
I'm going to give myself an assignment, and I'm going to put it on wax on the podcast so that I do it by 2 weeks from now. I'll give myself a 2-week window. I will be giving you my honest review of Clear History. I want to watch that movie now that you brought it up.
Nice.
So
I love it.
It's added to the docket. I will be watching it. Even if I have to pay for it, I will rent it.
It's a fun watch. I haven't seen it in several years, but it's a fun watch. Moving down here in the East, obviously the Celtics are the one seed. They had a historical season. They're going to get the 8 seed. And
the poo-poo platter.
I will tell you this, like, this is a team right now that if there has ever been a win or bust season.
Oh yeah,
this is the Celtics, right? Like they have this. They're I think they said it on Simmons or Russell said it. It's like the third best regular season of all time.
Do you
time.
Think it's win or bust, or do you think it's we ran into Joker in the finals? It went seven, and we're gonna regroup. Like, is
great
it-
question. I meant to clarify through the Eastern playoffs.
Yeah, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Like it's a yeah. must.
But if they get run off the floor by whoever they play in the finals, like maybe you have a different discussion because you actually have to see it. But they have to embarrass competition.
I think if they don't go to the finals and have a competitive series, I'm talking at the least six games, and I'm not talking to, like you said earlier, the greatest sweep ever, where it felt like they competed in four games but got swept or lost in five. If they don't have a competitive series all the way up through the finals, then Mazzulla has to be fired.
Yeah, and then you start talking about what personnel decisions are we making, because they're about to pay Tatum. They've already paid Brown. They just gave Holiday a big extension. I think Derek White too, and obviously we know Porzingis signed one. So this team is one of the most expensive teams in the league. It doesn't get talked about because the Celtics aren't really known.
Maybe looking
that.
At them like the Heat back in the day, where it seemed like it was the big three: Mario Chalmers and a bunch of spare parts.
That's exactly right, man. I mean, they can't keep this thing together forever. So it kind of does. It's not a last dance, but this team starts to feel like. I know it's young, but they've already been through a lot of wars. They were in the finals 2 years ago. They've been to the East Finals several times. They got a cruise here. I want to see a maturity level of a team that just says, we're too good to, as we'll use Will's term, play with our food. Mm-hmm. Let's just go out there and kick the shit out of whoever we play. And could the Knicks give them a tough series? For sure. Should Miami, you know, still give them a little bit of a fight? Sure. But I don't want to see any of these series going past six games.
Completely agree with you. I think it's a fireable offense if they don't make it all the way to the finals and make it a series, at least.
Bucks Pacers is very intriguing to me.
Soft ass landing for the Bucks. Not really. It would have been a soft landing for the Knicks. I do think the Bucks are not great defensively at guard, and Giannis has been showing, I don't know, is he fatigued? I mean, it's not the Bucks of last year.
Buddy. He might not play. He has that calf strain.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. That's not play. That's like some KD shit where it's like it's a strain now. It's a strain now, but that thing could snap.
Oh, dude, if it has any affiliation with the Achilles, this is more the soleus muscle. But, yeah, that's I got to be honest with you.
You
want
to do this pod with Will if you guys are going to get technical? You want to do it with the fucking surgeon?
Yeah, Will can explain the bridge of the Achilles into the calf. But no, I'll tell you this, man. Like, they did get a softer landing with Indiana because Haliburton has not been playing the same level of basketball since he came back from his injury. But this team did beat Milwaukee three times this year. And I look at them as a team where they could muck it up. And if Giannis isn't 100% healthy or if he misses time, you could have Siakam go at him a little bit and deal with some length. But this is going to be a referendum on a really bad end to a season that saw Milwaukee have a lot of turmoil. And through the last 2 weeks, whether Giannis was on the floor or not, this team played like shit, losing to the dregs of the conference, dregs of the NBA. They do not have any positive momentum heading into the playoffs. So maybe they deal with the inexperience of Indiana, but whew, I don't feel great about Milwaukee right now, Tom.
Nor do I. And I saw Stephen A. Smith reported. I don't know if he reported it or predicted it. I mean, he does wear so many hats. I don't even know. But that Dame might leave if this doesn't go well. And it's without Giannis playing, it's not going well so far.
Well, we can have that conversation. It seemed like he wasn't happy going there from the beginning because he wanted to go to South Beach. And that's not what happened. And I would still be happy knowing that I have a great chance to win. But shit, if this falls apart and you got Lopez, who's another year older, I mean, you're going to have Bobby Portis. The rest of this roster has basically no flexibility. Middleton's another year older. Like, this might be a situation that turns around and hits him in the face fast, particularly when you went from Coach Bud to Adrian Griffin to Doc. And if Doc doesn't conquer what you thought Adrian Griffin couldn't, this entire situation could blow up fast in Milwaukee.
Hold on to those picks, Knicks. Hold on to those picks. You're absolutely right.
There you
go. Yeah, I mean, if shit really hits the fan, Giannis could be gone too, and it could just be a full-on rebuild.
You're picking up what I'm putting down, brother.
I am. All right. I've got – this is one of my three of the series that I really want to watch, the Cavs and the Magic, just because I think – just the defense against Dame and against Mobley, it's just they're. I want to see if they can put him in a cage for a couple.
Mitchell, games. Mitchell, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant. I don't know who I said, but Mitchell.
You said Dame, but that's okay. We're just talking Bucks. Yeah, this is very interesting, and you know the Cavaliers have also been dog crap down the final stretch.
They fell big time.
You're hearing Mawada shit out of Mitchell. That doesn't make it sound like he wants to stick around and he doesn't like their process.
So maybe this is a sweep. Maybe this is one of those everybody thinks it's a surprise sweeps, but if you read the writing on the wall, it was kind of over before it started.
You could see a series where, last year. Yeah, or like last year when the Knicks just made it torturous on Cleveland. They don't respond well to adversity. That's been very, very clear. You got the head coach on the hot seat and Bickerstaff. You got this looming Mitchell situation. You know, really, what is the future of this team? I respect the fact that they swung for it last year with the Mitchell trade, but this team has seemed to show that when the lights shine the brightest, they really like just crawl away and hide. The Magic are ready. Are they going to score enough points? I don't know, especially if you have one of those nights where Mitchell and Garland catch fire. But to me, man, I look at Orlando, and this is a team that's going to be intact for a while. They'll add one more score, but I think they could win some very ugly games in like the 80s or low 90s.
Well, yeah, and if you've watched the Magic, especially in the second half, you said Mitchell and Garland get hot. I mean, they're going to earn every bucket. This entire series, nothing easy.
Nope. Yeah, you got Isaac playing how he's playing. Banchero seems to like the spotlight. Wagner is finally shooting the ball better. Franz, that is. So
yes, it took the whole season, but I knew the three ball would come around. I thought it was going to take till next year. Okay, let's move on to the West. Let's run down the matchups real quick. OKC will be taking on the winner of whom? I don't know. Either Golden.
Well, they're going to get either of the four teams. We're just going to see how that whole thing shakes out.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see because I think those matchups are important for them. Because if they take on a Lakers team and they don't have a big man that answers Davis, that could be a tough series. And maybe the Lakers have their fingers. Maybe the Lakers will lay out and do what Tibbs should have done and lose and then win.
Ooh, a little conspiratorial. I like that.
Listen, if it happens, even if it's not true, I'm going to say it was.
Well, you're putting it on wax right now, so you have to. I like that call, though. You're right. If you're Oklahoma City, you don't want any part of the Lakers. The Lakers have beaten them pretty easily in their matchups this year.
I don't even think you want Sacramento either. I mean, you're dealing with Sabonis down there. If I was Sacramento, I'd be like, we're just going to run everything through Sabonis and just beat the hell out of Chet because they don't have anybody behind him.
No, but they also don't have Herter or Monk, and that's a tough situation.
Yeah, I don't think Sacramento has the scoring, and I think Golden State's going to get them. All right, so the Nuggets are going to face either New Orleans or the Lakers. I'm not really worried for either of those. Jokic is healthy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we're good. Not worried.
Nope, I'm not worried either. Listen, the Lakers play them competitively. That's the most appreciative and applauding type comment you can make for them because they don't beat Denver. They just don't.
Yep. All right. These last two matchups, the 3-6 and the 4-5, are amazing. Just chef's kiss. These are going to be the two best of the first round. You heard it here first. T-Wolves against the Suns. I still can't count the Suns out when you have a combination of those three, really, Booker and Durant are who I trust. they can score with anybody, but it's going to be really tough to beat this defensive Minnesota, especially getting Cat back, give him some offensive help. Although last night fucking didn't hit my goddamn bet for me, only scored 10 points. He played big minutes the night before when he came back, or the game before that. I'm pissed off about that. I'm 1-5 in picks of the day. It's embarrassing, Sean, because I'm not that bad of a gambler. I don't want to have to tweet out a picture of my actual ledger from FanDuel, but I'm not that bad.
Hey, you're not going to hear anything from me based off my golf picks.
Well, rightfully so.
Exactly. So you can bitch and moan all you want. I'm never going to be able to say, yeah, you're right, Tom. You suck, because look at me. I mean, go back to last year with my football picks. Like, for somebody that prides themselves on knowing as much as I know, I cannot pick games to save my absolute life.
You know a lot about sports. You know a lot of the facts. You just don't ask Sean who's going to win or lose. That's all.
And if you do, just take whatever I say and go against
just fade it. Just fade it. That's all
right. Fade the fuck out of it. Yeah, you're right, Tom.
You're still useful.
Thank you. That's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me. In this Minnesota-Phoenix matchup, you're right. And Phoenix is starting to play a lot better. They went 7-3 in their final 10 games, which was easily the toughest remaining schedule in the NBA. They did beat Minnesota pretty easily the other day, because Minnesota's trying to figure this whole thing out, reintroducing Cat. And I know that they were on a real roll when he got hurt, but trying to get him back into the flow of things now is a little bit harder. And the X factor to me that – is much maligned over the course of the year, whether it be injuries or his fit or whatever. But Bradley Beal is starting to play like vintage Bradley Beal again. And if he continues to do that, I'm still not picking them to beat Denver or maybe even some other teams, but I would definitely take them over Minnesota. I don't know how much I trust this T-Wolves team over the course of a 7-game series against the Phoenix Suns, who have Booker, Durant, and Beal.
I agree with you. This is one of those series where I wouldn't even bet on it, because I just don't know. My head wants to say Minnesota is gonna figure out a way to stiffen up defensively and find a way to stop them and exploit the fact that you've been screaming all year that Phoenix doesn't have a point guard when shit goes bad. And that's why I'm going to lean on Minnesota here, because Phoenix doesn't have a point guard for when shit goes bad. So if they can muck things up, I don't know if Phoenix is going to be able to recover.
Also interesting, too, that if we looked at this matchup, if this were to be 2 weeks ago, you would say the Suns are still really weird and they got blown out by San Antonio. And Minnesota was still a really, really good defensive team. And they've started to slouch just a little bit. And it's more a credit to Phoenix than a knock on Minnesota. But this is the version of the Suns that we thought we were going to get.
I think that, you know, we saw it this year and we praise him for Cat realizing that Ant's the guy and that he just needs to play his role and be the second guy there. But I think that was kind of, you know, put even bolder, because when he was gone, it was Ant and everybody else. And it's going to be a tougher – Cat's going to have to make another adjustment to be having an even – I don't know if it's lesser role or even more of a different role.
It's definitely going to be a situation of how much is this organic, like it was pretty much the whole season, or how much are we force feeding Cat?
Yep. No.
If he plays within the flow of the team, of the game and the team, I think everything could favor Minnesota. But if you can see that they're going out of their way to make sure he feels like he's included, that might be where we can capitalize it.
Yeah, they just don't have the time right now. I'm sorry to say it, but he came back with like 3 games left, and you got to play with what you got right now. You got to win all these games. No throwaways. Final series, we chronicled this on the last Monday rundown. Luka owns the Suns and the Clippers. It would be really something if he could run through these Clippers and just put them to bed, because as excited as I was for them earlier on, I'm kind of tired of them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And listen, there's talks that Kawhi, there's still significant swelling in his knee. You know, he might not play, at least for a while. You got Harden, who's just been terrible for the last 6 weeks, dealing with his injuries, too. Actually, I give a lot of credit to Paul George. He's been durable and awesome all year. But it's funny, because Luka
on the Knicks.
You know what, dude? Anything's up for grabs if they lose this series. And it's really funny with the narrative with Luka owning the Clippers, because from a statistical standpoint, he does. But he is 0-2 against them in playoff series, even though he has more iconic moments than the entire Clippers team. But you've got the way him and Kyrie are playing off of each other right now, and Kyrie has just settled into such a good place. I think you did a phenomenal job detailing why he's doing that and the part of the basketball piece that he's at right now, dating back to probably the best it's been since 2017, 2016. So great call on that. The offensive firepower has to be a real scare for the Clippers, because you know they're not going to play a lick of defense. So I'm looking at Dallas to win this series, and I'm going to say in six games.
I'm in agreement with you. Dallas in six. I mean, really, it depends on if Kawhi plays, because I think it could be a real quick series the way Harden's just been struggling, like you said, with injuries, and then the new old way the NBA is refereed. But if Kawhi plays, yeah, give me him in six. The Mavs, that is.
Yeah. And by the way, too, just going off of trends, you look at the way Dallas has played over the last month, 6 weeks with Gafford. They've been really good. They seem to know who they are as a team, whereas it's the same old story for the Clippers. We just don't know what version of them we're getting on a regular basis.
No, and that's just because, like you said, they've been very inconsistent.
It's so funny how it just goes to show how long seasons are, right? Like, they got Harden, they're figuring it out, they're getting steamrolled by everybody. Then the flip swishes, they're the best team in the league for like 7 weeks. They're just killing everyone.
Flip the switch, they look unstoppable.
Exactly. I mean, Will's got to copyright that shit. But then now they're back to injuries and just kind of a blah team. They've lived like three different seasons over the course of this one.
The only reason why I don't think there'd be a Clippers blow up, and I do think Harden is probably going to get the bag if they can figure out how to do it financially, is because they're moving into that new arena.
Yep.
So, you know, all this PG talk, it might be for naught, because Ballmer's got all the bread in the world and he might want to keep it together. But yeah, I think the Clippers are a very, very vulnerable team right now, and the Mavericks are hot as hell. So give me the Mavs in six.
I think that's the right call, man. I do. And I think we're going to see some more Luka magic. But you know what I'm excited for is something that we haven't seen in a long time, and something I certainly thought I was going to see a lot more of, is some Kyrie playoff magic. It's been a long time since he's had a notable performance in the playoffs. I know when the Nets were really humming, when they had Harden, he put up some huge games, but he never really had that, like, oh shit, this is Kyrie playoff time. It's been like 7 years since we saw that, because we didn't see it in Boston either. It'd be really cool now to see him have one of those moments again. Like, can you imagine if he hit that left-handed crazy hook shot in a playoff game?
Oh my God, it was already probably the best buzzer beater ever. Could you imagine? And that's something he's capable of. Yeah, I mean, I just remember a lot of disappointing moments with him walking with his head down off of in a Celtics jersey as well as a Nets jersey. So I would like to see some Cleveland Kyrie in Dallas.
And the way he's played all year, this is the closest thing to that we've
no
seen.
No doubt about it. He's by far the best player he's been. Situation and just keeping his name out of the headlines in a negative way since Cleveland, and there's no argument to that.
None whatsoever. Like, you detailed it perfectly about why him and Luka work, and for anybody that didn't hear that, go back to last week's Monday Rundown, because I re-listened to it, and I was really impressed with how you broke that down. So that's some high basketball IQ. Tom, we got a really busy week upcoming. The schedule is going to be a little different. You're going to be holding down the fort for us on Mike Phillips' podcast. You want to plug that for a minute for us?
Yeah, Just Send the Suffering. I'll be on tomorrow. I don't know when the hell he's putting it out, but I'm doing the pod tomorrow. You guys don't need to know the time, because it doesn't matter. But I don't know when he's putting it out. I'll announce it on the pod when he tells me. And then, yeah, Sean, why don't you chronicle what the hell you got coming up? I got to pull up the calendar. You got so much going on.
Yeah, so everybody, we got another busy week for you, so I hope you continue to really settle in with the sounds of our voice. In addition to Tom making the appearance on Just End the Suffering with Mike Phillips tomorrow, The trifecta is going to be back tomorrow night to recap episode, what is it, 6 or 7 of Full Swing.
Oh, how sweet of Will to clear some time in his calendar for us.
Isn't it nice of him? He's finally, well, you know, he's done hobnobbing with all the big shots, so he figures he could actually, he's going to have a night at home to
do a podcast. I'm just hoping he doesn't get himself another gig between now and then.
You know, he really would be an ass for that. We were the ones that gave him this olive branch, and now he's going to leave us behind? I think not. But yeah, we're going to recap another Full Swing, so a little bit more golf content. And then beginning Wednesday, for everybody that has wondered out loud or to themselves or maybe messaged us and we didn't see it, we are doing the French 5 series again. Frenchie is back with us. I'm going to be taking the reins with a lot of those pods, but you'll be hearing Tom and Will pop in for some others. We got wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs coming up Wednesday. A lot more on over the course of the weekend because the draft is only a mere 10 days away. So Frenchie's going to be back bestowing all the knowledge that he has to all of us. And I'm looking forward to having that back, man. It's a annual thing for us.
Me too. I'm also looking forward to, again, you're a genius. It only took us like 5 years to figure it out, but spreading it out so we don't have to make Frenchie do like a 4-hour podcast. So spreading it out is much better. We obviously have Picks Boss on Friday as well. Will had a good week, as did I. But yeah, we have truly a jam-packed week. I don't know who's going to be on outside of you and Frenchie on any of those pods. I've given Will the keys. He can go on any of them and just talk only Cowboys and just completely hijack it. I'm letting him do it.
I love it. Yeah, Frenchie has been given the assignment, so we have the schedule, and you guys, you know, fly in whenever you deem necessary and seem fit, but we're looking forward to it. It's amazing how we go from March Madness right into the Masters as baseball kind of hangs out. We got the NBA playoffs on deck and, of course, the NFL draft. It truly is a wild time of year, and for the first time, we've been able to dedicate the necessary time to it. It's great.
Yeah, man, I'm fired up. I think maybe when the dog days come around, I think we might have to do a pod where we rank our I don't know how – maybe you can get on this because you're more the content guy. We got to break down our best times of the year for sports. I don't know how we'll chronicle the times, if we'll break it down by month or quarter, but I think we need to go have a little roundtable discussion on our favorite times of year.
I'll let my creativity take over, but I like that idea. We'll figure it out.
Well, thank you, sir. All right, so like we chronicled 2 seconds ago, we are going to be talking to you guys a lot, and we already have been talking to you guys a lot, so we hope you're enjoying. Also, if you want to talk to us, shoot Sean a tweet, or really all of us, at Sorry Sports, on Twitter, obviously. Where else would it be?
Yeah, that's our main vehicle right now. We're going with it, and who knows what comes up in the future, but for right now, Twitter's the best way to reach us.
No doubt about it. All right, everybody, we'll be talking to you guys tomorrow.
Take care, everyone.